and one of the leaders of the church. And I have one other announcement for you. So, Pastor Dan, he's leaving service. Pastor Dan, his leaving service will be the 2nd of April. Pastor Dan has served with us very faithfully for over 7 years. And we're going to honor him and say goodbye to him on Sunday, the 2nd of April. So that is a date also to put into your calendars, please. Okay. Before I give the message today, I'd love us just to pray. And so I invite you just to bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much that you come down to be with us. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus into this world. I know that I am a sinner who is saved only by your grace and by your redemptive work, Jesus. I thank you for giving to us your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Would your word speak to the very hearts of us today? Would your word challenge and correct and encourage us today? To your name alone be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we live in a time where there is great need for wisdom and discernment. We live in a very anxious time, a time where so many of us are realizing how fragile this life really is, a time of great uncertainty. And the Bible has in it books of wisdom. There are 5 wisdom books, they are called. They are the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, the Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. I knew that's the first one. We have 5 wisdom books. And so with so many of us praying for wisdom, with so many of us searching for wisdom, with so many of us needing, what is God's perspective on this situation? The first question to ask ourselves then is, are we actively seeking wisdom in his word? Do we know these books of wisdom? Today, what I want to do, and also next week, is look at a few verses from the book of Proverbs. And what we'll see today, and also next week, is very often in the Bible, it associates wisdom with the words that we use. Time and time again, you get this recurrent theme that wisdom is associated with the words that we use or the words that we don't use. And so what we're going to look at today is, the title is, The Words We Use, Restraining Our Lips. And next week, again, we'll look at the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at the words we use, giving an honest answer to somebody. So first of all, we'll look at the discipline of listening, of learning to restrain our lips. And I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles, if you have one. If you don't have one, there actually is one there at the back. I brought with me my favorite big Bible today. I am actually reading from the Bible. This is from his word. So open it up to Proverbs 10, and we're going to look at Proverbs 10, verses 19 to 21. I'm going to read it in the ESV translation. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. What I'm going to take a look at today is, we're going to take 3 parts from these 3 verses. And so if we go on to the next slide, we'll look at this next part. The first part that we'll took from our text is that when words are many, we might sin a lot. Secondly, our words reveal what is in our hearts. And thirdly, our words have the potential to feed people. So firstly, let's look at the first part. When words are many, we might sin a lot. And again, I'll read our proverb for us. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. To restrain your lips. What does that mean? To restrain your lips. If you look at the Hebrew word for restrain in other proverbs, what it means is to also to withhold something, to not say something, to keep back, to control your speech. There is actually a very nice expression in English which is to bite your tongue. I don't know what the German translation is. It's probably somewhere similar, but not quite. To bite your tongue is a nice, relevant expression for what this means, because there is some pain involved. When you bite your tongue and you don't say the thing that you want to say, it actually hurts a little bit, right? It hurts a little bit for us to actually hold back. Because very often, we want to give vent. And the Proverbs have this expression of to let the tap flow. Time and again in the Proverbs it says, don't let the tap flow. Don't give vent. Don't just speak and speak and speak, but learn how to restrain your lips, because who can tame the tongue? Who can tame it? So the Bible talks to us time and again about let's be slow to speak. Let our words be few. And to make this point, I'd like to look at a few other verses in the Bible which makes this point about letting our words be few and restraining our lips. Let me show you four other parts of the Bible which make this point. Firstly, quite a well-known verse from the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Proverbs 17, verse 27, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2, do not be quick to speak, and do not be hasty in your heart to utter a word before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so let your words be few. And finally, Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So the proverb says that if we do not restrain our lips and we just let our tongues flow, then we might sin a lot. Why? Why might transgression not be lacking if we keep on speaking and we cannot restrain our lips? Because James 3 tells us, who can tame the tongue? If you read James chapter 3, it's full on in its description of the tongue. James describes the tongue as set on fire by hell. That's pretty hard. It describes the tongue as a deadly poison. Who can tame the tongue? If we keep on speaking, then we're more and more likely to speak about things that are gossipy and that are sinful and that are just idle speak. And the more and more we speak, the more and more likely we are to speak about our favorite subject, ourselves. There was some interesting research done that said in social media, 80% of what people will talk about on social media is themselves. And we know that we're living in a time where very often we get all of these websites which are just the title of the website is the person's name themselves. Now, I struggle with that because people I also would respect have got websites dedicated to themselves. But I'm telling you, if you see online www.jameswentworth.com, rebuke me. I'm hoping that in a couple of years that does not come back. But I'm telling you, there was a reason why I had to. But listen, we are not to be full of talking about ourselves. But the problem is also, as well as living in a generation which is so narcissistic, we are living in a generation which is so lonely. So lonely. We want desperately for someone just to hear us. There was a piece of research done a few years ago by a group of Harvard psychologists which found out that people were very willing to pay money to talk about themselves. There was no counseling involved. There was no therapy. They would just have the opportunity to pay money to talk about themselves. There is such a need for wanting to talk about ourselves. And there's a place where we should share about our lives. It's natural. There's a place where we should do it. The problem is this. If we spend a lot of time talking, and a lot of time talking about ourselves, it is very easy to veer off and get away from our first commandment and our second commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your body, your mind, and your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those commandments do not require us to talk a lot about ourselves. Now, what I'd like to talk about is a little bit about what this proverb might look like in practicality. What does it look like for you and me to restrain our lips, to hold back from saying something in action? What does it look like in our daily lives? Now, I don't know about you, but it often seems to me that if I'm in a conversation with somebody, and it's usually somebody that I'm quite close to, somebody that I like a lot or I love, that person may say something about me which is not true, or they may say something which is a bit silly, or they may say something that I disagree with. What do we do at that time where something inside of me is triggered? And I may be not feeling the best. I'm feeling a bit tired. I'm feeling a bit angry. What do I do in these pressure moments? Because, Christians, you are in a spiritual battle. And it is not taking place in some clearly defined battlefield over here. It is taking place in your daily life. It is taking place right now as you listen. It is taking place on the drive home. It is taking place in your workplace. And the enemy is looking for opportunities when your defenses are down for you to give full vent and just let it all out. For me, personally, I know that there are times when my wife and I, we're having a conversation and one of us is maybe a little bit tired. And I can sense an argument is on the horizon here. See if you can relate. Something's going to maybe happen here. Often in me, I can sense this great pressure, this great urge to say something really foolish now, to say something really stupid right now. I don't know where it comes from, but it's the enemy. Just say that thing. I know I shouldn't say this, but such a temptation to let the tap flow and just let it all out. All of this self-righteous anger with all of these torrent of words. And a lot of these words are true. But transgression is not lacking when words are many, because the words might be true, but there's a lot of sin in there as well. So there is a place in that situation which I described for us learning to discipline ourselves, for learning self-control. And I'm going to prepare you for something, because this is one of my favorite subjects, self-discipline. So I hope not to go on and on about it in the future time that we're together. But for me, it's so important to instill holy habits in our lives. I don't think you're going to get very far in the Christian life if we have not learned self-control and discipline. And if we can learn self-discipline in one area of our life, it can transfer to help us with the tongue. Paul talks about beating his body to bring it into submission. If we have learned to discipline ourselves by getting out of bed when I said I would get out of bed, or not eating all that chocolate, or stopping using the mobile phone, or just beginning to fast, if I can discipline myself in those areas, it becomes easier to restrain my lips and to not say that thing that I really shouldn't say. There is a place for self-discipline, but there's also a place for prayer. And so if we are struggling in those moments when it is really tough not to say that thing that you want to say, we have a wonderful psalm from David, because David also understands. David also knows that he should restrain his lips. Here's a Bible verse for us to memorize. Here's a Bible verse for us to say very silently to ourselves in those moments. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. David understands. So we should restrain our lips. We should discipline them so as not to gossip. We should discipline them not to speak idly. But we should also restrain our lips with this pretty scary knowledge in the background. I'm going to be accountable. You're going to be accountable for every single word you have ever said. I'm going to stand before God and have to give an account of every word that I have ever said. So let our words be few. Take a look at what Jesus said in the next verse. Matthew 12, verses 36 to 37. Jesus says this, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. There is such wisdom associated with the words that we use. And we're going to look at that in our next part. So let's go on to our next part. Because our words reveal ultimately what is in our hearts. So the next verse, Proverbs 10, verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is of little worth. So our proverb makes this link. It makes a link between the tongue of the righteous, restrained person and who? You would think there is a natural link between the tongue of the restrained, righteous person and the person who speaks foolishly. But the proverb makes the contrast with the heart of the wicked. Why? Because out of our hearts we speak. Out of our hearts come these words. Out of our hearts, the words we speak reveal the innermost character. And you cannot try to control that only by discipline. I would love it if you could do that. Just a lot of behavioral control. I am never going to slip up. Never. Every single word I say, I'm going to be really monitoring every single word. You can't. You can't live like that. There's such a place for self-discipline, but bigger than that is the heart. Jesus also talks about this. Another word from Jesus. Luke 6, verse 45, Jesus says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Out of our hearts we speak. It is ultimately a heart issue. Ultimately. We need a heart transplant. You and I, we need a heart transplant. There's such a place for us being wise and disciplined, but ultimately we need Jesus to change and surrender and give up our hearts. That's ultimately what we need. You can tell if Jesus is doing a work in someone. You can begin to really tell that somebody is becoming submitted more and more to Christ. How? Through how they speak. Because increasingly, somebody who has given up their life to Jesus isn't saying their words. It is the Holy Spirit now speaking through them. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you. The question is, are you going to surrender to Him? Ultimately, what He wants is you to live a totally surrendered life and for you to be a vessel through which He can say those words to other people, because Jesus has the words of eternal life. You and I don't have those words. So the words we use are ultimately to be His words speaking through you. Jesus prophesied to His disciples that they would be persecuted and they would be brought under the authorities. They would be jailed. They would be beaten. But he told his disciples when he prophesied to them, don't worry about that. Don't worry when you're persecuted. Why? Because you will be given the words to say. At that point, you will be given the words to say. Now, I cannot pretend that I'm still very much on this journey, very much so. But I do want to give you a testimony of myself. Because you might not believe this, but I'm telling you, I used to love to swear. This was before. This was some time ago now. This was not last week. But I used to love. Man, I would get creative with those swear words. I would love it. I bang my toe. Bam! Loud, explosive curse words coming out naturally. That would just naturally just flow out time and time again. I am not going to give you examples of that. Don't worry. But you can imagine that. And that was just life. That was just life. But the more I surrendered to Jesus and the more I just spent time with him, he did something that there's no way that I could have done. In those pressure moments when you drop something, when you're really annoyed with someone, there is no way you can just restrain yourself every time. You need Jesus to do something. I needed Jesus to do something. And he did something. Because I began to just not swear. And I don't understand it, but I just completely stopped doing it. And the more I walked with Jesus, the more sensitive I became to words that push people down, to words that were a label. Jesus did this. We can't do it ourselves. Ultimately, we need a heart transplant. We need a heart transplant because of the potential of our words. Let's go on to our next point. Our words have incredible potential. They have the potential to feed people. So our final verse is this. Proverbs 10, verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. And here are two accompanying proverbs as well. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And then Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. There is immense potential to the words that we use. Next week, we're going to look at that. An honest reply has the potential to stop somebody who is just backsliding and bring them back to God. A word of encouragement has such power that it can bring somebody out of the darkness and help them to cling on to the promises of God. Our words have incredible potential to build up or to tear down. Look at that proverb again. A word fitly spoken, the right word at the right time changes you. It can change you, but they are not to be our words. They're to be his words. I want to give us like a little story from somebody called Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was a Chinese church leader, and he spent 20 years in prison for his faith. And he talks about something that he often saw in Christians, and I can also be very guilty of doing this. He said, what Christians often do is that we have all these feelings, and God is doing something in us, and he's done something. So what we do is we go around and share this thing to lots of people. We show it to this person, to this person, to this person, to this person. That not necessarily is wrong. But if we have not listened to restrain our lips and listen to where that person exactly is at, it is difficult for us to give the right word at the right time. And he made this illustration. He said it was like this. A patient comes to a doctor, and the patient is complaining of a headache. The doctor listens to it, gives paracetamol. The next patient comes in, and the patient is complaining because he can't see properly. The doctor gives paracetamol. The next patient comes in complaining of heart problems. The doctor gives paracetamol. He's just giving it out every time. Now, the paracetamol helped the guy with the headache, right? And it's probably not a harm to take paracetamol. But if we have not first listened to the person, we cannot learn to listen then we have no discernment and will just say the same thing to every person. There is a great, great need today for us to learn to listen. And we are becoming foolish if we just say the same thing to everybody. But it is hard for us to listen. Because there is a link between really listening to someone and really loving somebody. Listening is a discipline that is incredibly needed in our church today. We don't have to set up a whole ministry about it. We don't have to start a ministry of listening that someone's going to listen. We just have to start practicing it. It means loving somebody. There's a wonderful quote by a guy called David Augsburger who said this: being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Jesus is the go-to, because Jesus is the master listener. Jesus has the words of many. I don't have the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life. That's what his disciples said, right, in John 6. Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus' words have the potential to turn somebody around. But Jesus listened first. If we think about Jesus in the parables, we think about, do you remember this parable, this story, sorry, of Jesus being surrounded by this crowd? He's just going along, surrounded by a crowd, and then a blind man just calls out. And Jesus stops and listens. Blind Bartimaeus, he stops what he's doing and he listens to him. How often are we in our busy to stop and listen to someone else? We also are to love like that. Jesus listened to the disciples in the Emmaus Road, the two disciples walking along. He listened to what they were saying, and then he spoke. He listened to the woman at the well. He listened to what she was saying, and then he spoke into our heart. Jesus has learned to listen, and so we are to follow him as well in doing that. A very good place for a listener, if we want to start, if we want to start being a listener, is to ask questions. It is a wonderful thing to be asked a really good question, because it is a sign that that person has listened to you. A really good question by somebody is an honor. It is an honor to be given, whoa, man, you listened to me and you really thought about it, and then you asked a good question. Jesus asked good questions. But Jesus also listened to the heart of the person. You and me are to listen to where people are at. What is the heart of that person? Now, let me say one last thing about all of this stuff. Jesus gave his disciples and he gave us a commission, right? Before Jesus ascended to heaven, what did he say to his disciples? He said to them this, that they are to go and make disciples, and they are to teach people to obey his teachings. So when we go out and we speak to people, the words that we give to people are to be Jesus' words. Jesus, the living word, was a man absorbed and soaked in the word. It just came out of him. What were Jesus' words when he was on the cross? His last words. He was on the cross and he quotes Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? It just comes out of him. What are Jesus' words when he was in the desert in a crucial time in his life being tempted by the devil? He answers the devil with the passages of Deuteronomy. The word just came out of him. You and me are to be people of the word. The words that we give to other people are to be Jesus' words. And so if I don't know Jesus' words, how am I going to have the lips of the righteous that feed many? I want my words. I want the Holy Spirit speaking through me with words that will speak to the heart of a person, the right word at the right time. These are the words we are to use. So let me end by saying this. Let us learn to restrain our lips and learn at the right time to speak wisely. And next week we're going to talk about that. Next week we're going to talk about giving an honest reply to somebody. But let us close now. Let me ask us to bow our heads once again and close our eyes. and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. Heavenly Father, I just pray, as we take a little time now just to think about these things, I just ask, Father, would you help us to recognize in our own life where we have been so quick to speak and slow to listen? If there is an opportunity where you want to speak directly to our hearts about something, Lord, I just invite you, Father, would you just minister to our hearts right now in this moment of silence? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we will grow as people of wisdom, men and women rooted in your word, full of discernment, able to restrain our lips, knowing what is the right word to say because of the power and the potential of the words we use. Would you teach us, Father, through your word? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.